Isaiah 37. Now, at the end of chapter 36, we've had the situation where Jerusalem is surrounded by the Assyrian army, and their leader, Rabshakeh, is coming around saying, "It's hopeless, give in, surrender. We've got you surrounded, you're outnumbered, we've got horses and chariots. You're going to lose all the other idols of all the other nations. They couldn't save their people. Your God, Yahweh, can't save you either." So it's a set up, as it were, a great contest. Rabshakeh has said, "These are just vain words that you're trusting in." So it's like a contest. Will God's words come true or not? Is it going to be true that if you just give up with God and just do what the world says, everything's going to be okay? Well, after Rabshakeh has said all these things, they don't answer him, and they come and tell Isaiah and Hezekiah. And it happened when King Hezekiah heard it that he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into Yahweh's house. And he sent Eliakim, Shebna, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth to Isaiah the prophet. So this is what we should do when we have these crises and these problems. Turn to God. Go into the Lord's house. Go to God's true people like Isaiah the prophet. Turn to God's word. Turn to other believers. And I said to him, "Thus says Hezekiah, today is a day of trouble and rebuke and of rejection. The children have come to the birth and there's no strength to bring forth. Perhaps Yahweh your God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to defy the living God, and will rebuke the words which Yahweh your God has heard. So lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left." So the living God, Yahweh, your God, has heard these words. So when you're in a position where you think, shall I just give up on this God stuff and just do what everyone else does and go the way of the world and try and get ahead and just trust in human wisdom, and people are saying, yeah, of course, that's what you've got to do. It's a real world out there, son. It's a real life. You just got to do it the way of the world. Just forget all these ideas about God and all that. Well, Yahweh your God has heard those words. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, "Tell your master, thus says Yahweh, don't be afraid of the words that you've heard with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me." So there's two sets of words here that are put in opposition. There's God's words, where he says that, no, Jerusalem will be saved, and my kingdom will be established, and I will save you from the Assyrians, which words seem to have no human chance of being fulfilled. And then there's the words of Rabshakeh and the Assyrians that say, no, your God is just like any other God, any other belief system. It's all going to come to nothing. He's not going to save you. Well, Isaiah says, don't be afraid of the words that you've heard from these men. Behold, I will put a spirit in him, and he will hear news and will return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria fighting against Libnah, for he'd heard that he had left Lachish. And he heard some news about Tirhakah, king of Ethiopia, that he's come out to fight against you. When he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, "Thus shall you tell Hezekiah, king of Judah, don't let your God in whom you trust..." He admits they do trust in their God. "Don't let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem won't be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. You've heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them completely. Shall you be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them, which my fathers destroyed? Gozan, Haran, Rezeph, the children of Eden, who were in Tel Assar? Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arpad and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, of Hena and Ivar?" So, the Assyrians are saying, all right, so the king of Ethiopia has come against us, and admittedly we do have to go and fight against him, so sure, we're just going to be going away, but we'll be coming back. And don't you think that this little temporary relief is because you prayed to your God? You notice that God doesn't give the answer immediately. Finally, one angel of God goes out and kills 185,000 of them. But before that, there is this slight break in the siege. And I think that's because God wanted the whole people, not just Isaiah and a few others, to have faith in him. He wanted them to see that I can do what I want. I am more powerful than these people. And that's why we don't get immediate answers to prayer. The prayers are often answered bit by bit. And so you see it here. Well, Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. Then Hezekiah went up to Yahweh's house, that's the temple, and spread it before Yahweh. I imagine he may have even gone into the holy place of the Most Holy and spread the letter, the scroll, out before the Ark of the Covenant. And so that's what we should do. We should take these kind of things to God. There's times when I've had letters that were really pretty awful. And sure, I know that God knows every word in the letter, but you open the letter on the kitchen table and you pray over the letter. And you say, God, read the letter. Well, God has read the letter. Of course, he knows what the letter says. So Hezekiah prayed to Yahweh, saying, Yahweh of armies, God of Israel, who is enthroned among the cherubim, you are the God, even you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Now, this is one advantage of believing in God as creator. But if he created heaven and earth, which he did, then he can do anything. The God who made the stars, the God who made this earth and all the wonderful things upon it, he can do anything. Yeah. Jerusalem surrounded by armies, you got a crisis, what's that to God? He can easily turn this and change it. So, turn your ear, Yahweh, and hear. Open your eyes, Yahweh, and behold, hear all the words of Sennacherib, who was sent to defy the living God. Truly, Yahweh, the kings of Assyria have destroyed all the countries in their land and have cast their gods into the fire, because they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, Yahweh our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are Yahweh, even you only. So, it's true. All the gods, the idols, the belief systems of anything that's apart from God and Jesus is going to come to nothing. This is true, and that's why it can't save anybody. The only person to rise from the dead to live forever has been Jesus. And the only people who are going to rise from the dead to live forever are those who are in Jesus. Then Isaiah sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus says Yahweh God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib king of Assyria, this is the word which Yahweh has spoken concerning him. The virgin daughter of Zion has despised you and ridiculed you. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head at you. Whom have you defied and blasphemed? Against whom have you exalted your voice and lifted up your eyes on high? Against the Holy One of Israel. By your servants have you defied Yahweh and have said, With the multitude of my chariots I have come up to the height of the great mountain, that's Mount Zion, to the innermost parts of Lebanon. I'll cut down its tall cedars and its choice fir trees. I will enter into its farthest height, the forest of its fruitful field. I think this is talking about how the Assyrians dreamed of taking the Temple Mountain, destroying the cedars in the temple. You say, I have dug and drunk water, and with the sole of my feet I will dry up all the rivers of Egypt. Have you not heard how I have done it long ago, and I formed it in ancient times? Now I have brought it to pass that it should be yours to destroy fortified cities, turning them into heaps. That's why their inhabitants had little power. In other words, yeah, sure, Assyria, I used you to punish those nations. I used you, as Isaiah says in chapter 10, you were the rod in my hand. I picked you up and used you. Yes, they were dismayed and confounded. They were like the grass of the field, like the grass on the housetops, and like a field before its crop has grown. But I know you're sitting down, you're going out, and you're coming in, and you're rage against me. So God knew whenever Rabshakeh or the king of Assyria sat down and whenever they stood up. God says, look, I know everything about you. Because of your raging against me, and because your pride has come up into my ears, therefore will I put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way by the which you came. This shall be the sign to you. You will eat this year that which grows of itself, and in the second year that which springs from the same, and in the third year sow and reap and plant vineyards and eat their fruit. The remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah will again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem a remnant will go forth, and survivors will escape from Mount Zion. The zeal of Yahweh of armies will perform this. So there's the Assyrian army with their horses and chariots, And there invisibly is Yahweh of armies with all his cherubim, his horses and chariots full of angels. Just they weren't visible to people who didn't have faith. Therefore, thus says Yahweh about the king of Assyria. He will not come to this city, nor shoot an arrow there, neither will he come before it with shield, nor cast up a mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same way he will return. He will not come into this city, says Yahweh. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And then the next verses are just wonderful. The angel of Yahweh, that's just one angel, one of all his angels, his horses and chariots full of angels, as it were, the cherubim. One angel of Yahweh went out and struck 185,000 men in the camp of the Assyrians. When men arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed, went away, returned to Nineveh, and stayed there. And it happened that as he was worshipping in the house of Nisroch, his god, you think, look, mate, can't you just see that your gods are rubbish? Can't you see? Didn't you understand that Yahweh is the God of Israel? That he's the only true God? He, just one of his angels, killed 185,000 of you people, and you, Sennacherib, you, the king, were not amongst them. You weren't killed because God wanted you to repent, and you didn't repent. And you went back to your old ways, you go home, and you go into the house of Nisroch, your God. So while he was worshipping in the house of Nisroch, his God, Adrammelech and Sherezer, his sons, struck him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Ararat. Esarhaddon and his son reigned in his place. So I think God was even trying to get Sennacherib to repent, just as he did with Pharaoh. When the 185,000 were killed, God could have just as easily have killed Sennacherib as well, but he didn't. And why didn't he? Because I think he was giving the guy a chance to repent. And I think he did the same with Pharaoh. He was very patient with Pharaoh to try to bring him by all means to repentance. And he's doing the same with us. And that's why when God convicts you of sin, repent straight away. Say sorry and give your heart to him. And don't go on in the way of pride. Don't go back to the way that he clearly doesn't want you to go.